And a question to start with, how many people here use the internet, maybe every day? Oh, thanks. Is that most of us?
Yes.
And what about social media? Which ones do you like? Anybody? Facebook?
Yes, please.
Yes? Yeah. Anybody use Twitter? No. What about the younger ones? Instagram, yeah?
Snapchat.
Anybody else use those? No.
WhatsApp.
What?
WhatsApp.
Yes, yeah. Some of us use that, yeah. So, talking about connection today, and continuing to talk about God's breath, and I'm going to bring the two together. And we probably know that the world's been more connected than ever before at the moment. It's said somewhere 3.2 billion people use the internet. Half the population use it, and half of them are on Facebook. So pretty well connected. But I wonder how many of your friends on Facebook you're actually friends with. That's a good question. We're quite well connected, but alongside this, there's an increasing sense of loneliness and isolation. There was a survey done by the Co-op and the Red Cross, and it said that 9 million people in the UK, there aren't 9 billion in the UK, are there? 9 million, are always or often lonely. And two-fifths of older people, that's 3.9 million people, say TV is their main company. And 500,000 people go at least 5 or 6 days without seeing anybody. That's a huge amount of people, isn't it? And quite a disturbing fact. Even with young people, the survey said 4% of 17 to 25s had problems with loneliness. Now, I wonder why all that is. We're maybe more disconnected than we used to be, aren't we? There isn't such a sense of community. But perhaps also there's a focus on me and the individual rather than community. Everything's about the individual. It's about me and myself, and not us and us together. Another problem is families sometimes don't stay geographically together, do they? If you think about your families and my family, we're all scattered, not our direct family, but the wider family scattered over different places. Another question, how well do we know our neighbours? I'm not great on that. We say hello, but don't really, really know them very well. Is anybody else like that? So, a sense of a loss of community. And thinking back to maybe earlier decades, there was much more of that community. People weren't as geographically mobile. And perhaps even in the war times, a sense of community was generated by crisis. And we pull together when there's a crisis, don't we? I wonder when you have most sensed community, being part of something, belonging and pulling together. For me, it was probably I went on an expedition up to Norway a couple of times in a little minibus, and there were 10 of us for a couple of months, and just being with people all together for a long time created a really good sense of community. But have you ever felt devoid of community, felt isolated yourself? Again, I used to go up into the Highlands to do work and look to see where all the glaciers used to be. And I used to go off by myself in a little transit van and for days on end. And I just got so lonely up there by myself. There would be days when I wouldn't see anybody. And after about 3 or 4 days, I would just go and sit in a pub just to be amongst other people. And we can also be lonely in a crowd. So many of us have large networks, but we still don't really have that sense of heart-to-heart connection or face-to-face connection, perhaps most of the time. And perhaps we've got a false sense of connection. We think we're all connected up on the internet and Facebook, but we really long for something else. And the thing is, we were made for connection. Back in Genesis, Adam was created and lived with a real connection, a real connectedness with God. And Adam walked with God in the garden, it says, in the cool of the evening, and had that perfect connection. God said a little bit later on, it's not good for man to be alone, and created Eve. So God's plan is for connection. God, who makes us, who made each one of us, has a whole set of connections lined up for us. That's exciting. And things happen when we're connected. Relationship is the essence of life. Connection leads to life. When a husband and wife come together, a new life, a baby's created. And connection is often how God's kingdom comes about. There's power and life in connection. So maybe our most important connection, or definitely our most important connection, is our connection with God. And last time we looked at how God's breath, which is described in the Old Testament as Ruach, brought life to Adam. And how the fall, when Adam and Eve were tempted, disrupted this relationship. The connection was broken with individuals and with God's people. But we also saw how God made a plan to reconnect, and there was a promise of a new heart and a restoration. So this connection broken by the fall is still affecting us. The enemy, the devil, tries to cut us off from God. That's what he wants to do, because he knows our rightful connection is powerful, and the devil hates this and fears it. So he's trying to prevent it all the time. So my first question is, what is your connection like with God, with the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? Because that's the most fundamental thing we can think about, our connection with God. And it's fundamental to how we live our lives. Each person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're meant to have that connection with. And the challenge is to keep that connection going, isn't it? We may feel oppressed and attacked every day, but it's a matter of keeping that connection strong on a day-to-day basis. We get distracted and all sorts of things come along to try and interrupt that connection. So just a question to ask, how is our connection? Whoops. Oh, is it not working? No. Sorry. So, second, we are made for connection with others. There's power and life when we come together, especially when Christians come together and are connected. Some people, like I said, have never had a heart-to-heart connection. But it's really what keeps us going. Human contact every day contributes to our well-being. And the Bible describes a deep connection we have as Christians. It talks about fellowship. It's a deep soul-to-soul connection, a spirit-to-spirit connection, which is more than just being in the same room. It's more than networking. And it's that deep connection that we can have together. I wonder how much time we spend on the wider networking on our phones compared with how much time we spend together. I noticed last week I was sitting at the back with, there were three of us, and it suddenly struck me that we were all on our devices and not speaking to each other. And I thought, oh, we're in church and we should be interacting a little bit more. But maybe that happens lots and lots. It says in the Bible, when brothers and sisters come together, God commands his blessing. So when we're together, God's blessing flows. And we know that when the disciples came together on the day of Pentecost, there was an outpouring of the Spirit. Things happen when we come together. God works. We also have a need to belong, an inside, an internal need to belong. We need people of all ages in our lives, don't we? And people help us to grow alongside God's word. Maybe they're the two most important things. God's word helps us to grow, and people help us to grow to be more Christ-like. One of my friends has a favourite expression about being grace growers. If you've got difficult people in their life, in your life, they can be called grace growers. They are developing grace within us. So last time we looked at the Ruach breath of God and how he worked and how he works to bring personal transformation. So today we're going to look at how the Ruach breath of God, or the Spirit of God, works among and between people and how they come together. And we looked last time at some of the prophetic words given by the prophet in the Old Testament, Ezekiel. He was called to bring God's word to God's people. And the people he was called to had lost connection with God, and they were in a dark place apart from him. So we're going to go back to this part of the story of God and his people. So the people of Israel had warnings of God's judgment. But God says, instead of death and darkness and separateness, there's going to be life. So God's people had an identity crisis, and people were asking, where's your God? Where's Israel's God? They'd been defeated by the Babylonians, and they had been taken off into exile. And there was a sense of depression or defeat and lamentation amongst the people because they were cut off from God. So in Ezekiel 37, it describes a vision that Ezekiel had. He's taken to a valley which can only really be described as Death Valley. It's full of bones, dry bones that are scattered, fragmented and cut off and all strewn about. It's a valley and they're in exile. It's a place from which they need rescuing. No life remains. So let's read it. It says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Imagine Ezekiel arriving there and seeing all these bones scattered. And it says, he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Ezekiel recognized the sovereignty of God, and he saw that the bones had been dead a long time. They weren't attached, they were all scattered. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So we know that prophecy is telling things that are going to be in the future, but also telling people what God's saying, what God's intentions are. And then it goes on. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel says, I prophesied and I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them. And skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So Ezekiel speaks God's word. And you can imagine the scene, left and right, bones flying about into place, rattling. He spoke things and something happened, but the forms that were still dead. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, come Ruach, from the four winds and breathe into these slain people that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. So Ezekiel spoke God's word and then called the wind, the breath, to come into them. And that's when they lived. Then he said, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. So, what can we say? The word and the spirit bring new life. We could say, or we could paraphrase this and say, the resurrection power lives in you and brings you to life. Or from the New Testament, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. There's a process going on of God's spirit bringing new life. So, what can we see here from this story? The people were in exile. They were scattered and saying, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. They know themselves to be dead. And they were cut off from the life-giving presence of God. And the question is raised, can these bones live? But we see there is regeneration by the infusion of the Holy Spirit in response to the word being spoken. Ezekiel was told, wasn't he, to prophesy to the bones, and they were required to hear the words of the Lord. As soon as Ezekiel speaks, the power of God is unleashed. But first of all, there's no breath in them, and he's told to prophesy to the breath. And this is a reminder, going back to Adam's creation. First, God creates Adam, doesn't he? And then he is filled by the Spirit later and brought to life in two stages. He's formed and then he's filled. Maybe some of us can identify with this process. Before I was a Christian, I used to go to church and I was hungry for God, but I didn't really know him. And I went off to university with a question, God, are you really there? And when I went up to St. Andrews, where I was a student, the first people I met were all Christians, and I started going to a church and heard God's word. And over the course of a year, at some point, I became a Christian. And I lived like that, not terribly transformed, but believing as a Christian for a while. But after a few years, when we came to Beverly here, I realised I didn't know the Holy Spirit. I knew Jesus, I knew Father God, but I didn't really know the Holy Spirit. So one time I asked, Holy Spirit, come and live in me. And that was a real transformation for me. I felt joy for the first time, peace, and there was a certain purpose. I felt really connected with the church where I was going to, got really involved, and God started doing things as his spirit came in me and I was transformed. So, like the bone thing, I would say there was a forming in me, I heard the words, and then a filling by God's spirit. Another interesting thing about the story is that Ezekiel was the person through which the power of God came. So Ezekiel was a channel for God's power. Ezekiel was raised to his feet before this story, and now in the story, the army is raised up to his feet as it's filled with the breath of God. The Spirit of God raises us up and causes us to move into action. The passage speaks of Israel as a nation. And Israel have come to recognise the seriousness of their situation. Maybe that's something for us to think about in our nation. do we see what sort of condition we are in relation to God. But God still says there's a hope for the future. There's a certain and secure future based on God's determination to save his people. This is probably what something like it looked like. Thinking about Ezekiel and how it applies to us. They were in exile, and just to note that we are in exile too. We're citizens of heaven and we're living on the earth. We are heavenly minded people, and it can be difficult in the world that we live in. Let's note too that there can be regeneration in response to God's word. As God's word is spoken into lives, into situations, that's what God does. He regenerates. And we know that we were all once cut off from God's presence. We were cut off from God. We're all in the condition that the bones were in once. But as we believe in Jesus, there is life for us. It is received through our connection with Christ. Jesus died for our sins and was cut off from God for them. But he didn't remain in the tomb, and he burst out with resurrection power. And as Christians, we are made alive in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We are made alive in him. So we are no longer dry bones, but the living, breathing life of Jesus is in us. We're his children. The vision or the dream that Ezekiel saw now becomes a reality for us. We can say we have new life. And we can say that the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. In their story, Ezekiel summoned the wind. And maybe that's something for us to do today, to ask God's Spirit to come. He's more eager to come than we are to call on him. And he can do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. Let's really ask him to move in our lives, in our church, and in our nation today. Ezekiel 37 points to God's people being connected up as this army. It's a foretaste of what happens as God's Spirit joins us up. Let's just think about some of the pictures that are in the Bible of us being joined up, of our togetherness and connection. There are quite a few metaphors that are used, and in Ezekiel 37, it's a description of an army, isn't it? So the Bible sometimes talks about us as an army. We're also described as a building. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. In buildings, all the pieces have to fit together, don't they? It needs to be carefully joined together. We had to do that when we were building the buildings next door. And I remember at one point there was a staircase, wasn't there? And we had difficulty getting that to fit in. But everything needs to be just in place. We need to support each other physically and spiritually as God's building as well. We're described as a body. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. We're all different and unique. It says we belong to each other in Romans 12. We're all different, so we don't need to copy each other. We all have different work to do and roles to play. But every single person is needed for the body to be complete. It's not just a matter of believing, but belonging. We all need to be connected to each other. A hand can't function without a body, and everything moves in harmony, doesn't it? As we move forward, as we walk, everything just moves together, and that's how we need to be. We're also described as a flock. Jesus is our good shepherd and we are his sheep. And a family. Nowadays, as I said before, family can be distance and disconnected and long distances from each other. But we have family here. Romans 12 says, love each other like brothers and sisters. The words love each other occurs 58 times. So that's something for us to get hold of. I wonder how we can grow in our love for each other. Different ways people feel loved. And is that something we need to focus on? How can I show my love to the people in our church family? It says, don't just pretend to love each other in Romans 12, 9 to 10. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. So, just a few comments about how this connecting work works. God's breath brings things together, brings people together, doesn't it? As we each are filled, there's some connection happens. And it says in Romans, since we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we should walk according to the Spirit. When we have the fruit of the Spirit, that's just characteristics that he makes and grows in us. You can see that many of them relate to how we relate to each other. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. They all are things that matter when we're working out relationships between us. So, do we have the fruit of the Spirit? Can we grow it? Ask for more infilling of the Holy Spirit. Also, our words have amazing power to bring transformation, as was shown in the story. We can bring healing, encouragement, truth to other people. Our words have power to speak life. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there's resurrection life. Things happen. We can also say that the resuscitated bones didn't become... What they became was an army. It wasn't a debating club or a beach party. They were raised for a purpose. And that's a good thing to have in our hearts and minds today. What is God's Spirit doing? What is our purpose? What is he pulling us together for? We were created in Christ to do good works which God has prepared in advance. That's both individually and together. What does he want to do with us? How does the Spirit of God want to join us up these days? He's pulling different people here and there together to do different things, to do new things. As we're filled with his Spirit, he gives us that purpose and a passion to do things. And as we connect with each other, that grows and it is formed into something. There are all sorts of things that it's possible to do together that we can't do alone. If we think about the churches in Beverly, there's just a couple or a small number of young people in each of those groups, and we are starting to come together and bring the young people together so that we can do things and have worthwhile times together. As we come together, which we couldn't do if we were just doing it in our own congregations. Together we have the power to cover all bases, to do more, to see what's going on around. And we have the power to shift situations as well in prayer. As we come together, God moves, God changes things. And as we said before, the devil tries to break up people's connection with God. He does that the same between each other. So as we come together and commit to being with each other, we are made stronger. So today, shall we allow God to fill us again in terms of our connection with God? That will help with that connection. Allow him to fill us so that we can connect better together. Allow him to join us up in different ways. I've recently formed another prayer triplet. Is that a good way? Is God asking you to connect with different people to come in prayer and pray together? Allow him to mobilise us, to get us to our feet and to see what he's wanting to do in and amongst us and in our town and our communities. Allow him to fill us with purpose. And just to finish, a quote from somebody. There is a rattling sound as bones come together, he's writing about these days. There's a rattling sound as bones come together. The sound of divine connections is coming once again. The sound of God breathing new life into his church by his spirit. The church is rising, a rising giant of a vast army of spirit-filled people, full of power and unified in purpose. And let's believe that that's what he's doing now, and that will be, we will be a body, an overall body, a wider body that will change our nation, bring God's kingdom into the UK. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would breathe new life in us today. I ask that you would fill us with your spirit. I ask that you would connect us up with you, Jesus. Work in our hearts and minds. Do something, do a miracle in hearts to connect us up. Let that connection stay strong. Help us to keep connected to you every moment of every day. And Lord, as you work in our nation, I pray that you would join us up, join your body up. Would you break down the barriers that prevent that? Would you fill us and join us? Make your body function properly. Make it whole. In Jesus' name, amen.